brother.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary. Love y'all. So, if y'all would open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. So, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Oh, if y'all can't hear me, let me know. Anyway, I don't really have a title for this teaching, but if I did, it would probably be called Renewed Mind Love. So, let's get started. All right, so there's a lot of cancellations and closings around the world now, right? Schools are closed, sports is closed, restaurants are closed, but there are certain things that never cancel or close, no matter what happens in this world. God's love doesn't end or close. God's love never fails. Mercy doesn't cancel or close. You know, grace is never canceled. God's help in time of trouble doesn't cancel or close. You know, the hope of Christ's return isn't canceled either. Christ is coming back. So we have a lot of great things that are ongoing that we can look to uplift us and bless us. And so in regards to what's kind of going on in the world, we're going to take a look at Ecclesiastes 1:9, but this is not shocking God. So verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 1 says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done." But the last part is what I want to focus on. "And there is no new thing under the sun." Right? So God's prepared. I mean, when you think of ingenuity, of preparedness, of not being shaken by things that are going on, viruses, earthquakes, troubles, whatever the case may be, God's seen this. I mean, God's, you know, ready for this. And he has the solution. So, you know, sometimes people will think or say that the Bible isn't practical. It's not something that we can practically rely on, right? It's great for people who consider themselves religious or Christians, but it's not a practical help. You know, it may not talk about specific things, like the Bible may not refer specifically to impossible deadlines you're given at work, but it does talk about handling stress and being peaceful. You know, it may not talk about people dealing with distractions or drugs or things that stray them from the good things in life, but it does talk about temptation. You know, it may not specifically talk about the coronavirus in the Bible, but it does talk about God delivering and healing his people from anything that troubles them. So we can turn to the word to get practical help from anything that we face. So can God heal? Yes. God has healed from death before. And can God supply your need? Of course he can. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Kind of along the line of practical help. This is Paul. It says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." In verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." And this is referring to, you know, speaking the word and watching it grow in someone's life. But we're in this together with God. And you may start something in someone's life that will bless their life and help them, but let God kind of carry it through. I mean, you don't have to see the fix all the way to the solution. You know, that's kind of God's job. But if you start and you're walking with God and you say something to bless someone's life and it helps them, just, you know, at times just be thankful with that, unless God tells you to do something else. But don't put the burden of the world on your shoulders. That's God's job. All right, so turn to Psalm 34. This has been one of our favorite verses lately. Psalm 34, 4. I even posted this on Facebook recently. Psalm 34, 4. You know, there's a lot of people right now that are like not sure what to do. There's a lot of, you know, uncertainty in the world right now. People aren't sure, you know, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? You know, I can't enjoy the things the way I used to. I gotta, you know, pick up my meals from curbside service. All these crazy things that may affect you one way or the other. But this is something that we can remind ourselves of. And Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I mean, that's real practical help right there, right? So that's one thing I kind of want to look at in that renewed mind love step is it's important that we become fully persuaded of God's word as we grow in God's word, right? We're often reminded of God's relentless pursuing and undying love and care for us. Again, being fully persuaded is important. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. So in Romans 8, 38, it says, For I am persuaded, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, troubles, earthquakes, storms, diseases, viruses, none of that stuff. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So nothing can separate us from God's love. And that's something that we can put in our backpack, so to speak, and carry with us throughout life. I got that reference from someone on the call right now from Larry a few years ago. So you can put something in your backpack, so to speak, and carry it with you throughout life. So I'll finish verse 39. It says, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, here God reminds us that nothing is going to separate us from God's love. Nothing. Even if we leave him, even if we leave God, God is faithful, or else he's a liar, and God's not a liar. So God is faithful, right? We don't have to live our lives thinking that if terrible things happen in the rest of the world, eventually those things are going to trickle down on us. You know, we don't have to think that way. You know, we are assured of what God's word says. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, nothing. So it's important that we guard our hearts. Turn to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1:1 where we're going. So I've always looked up to my dad as a lead by example kind of guy. He's on the call now, but my dad's always been sort of that lead by example kind of guy. He's very good at encouraging people, showing them how, and most of all, he's really good at helping people to grow up in God's word, even total strangers. He's always been that way. You know, I try to do the same myself. I'm not as good as he is, but that's an attempt I try to. So we're going to kind of diverge from the renewed mind for a second and take a look at something else that I think is pretty important. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit really quick. So this is a side note. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, or in the Greek it's called pneumahagion, is an inherent spiritual ability. It's power from on high. And that word power that we're going to look at in 1 Timothy is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. If you think of TNT or dynamite, it's obviously powerful, right? The more you have of it, the more powerful it is. And that kind of describes what God's given to us to have. It's a gift of God that's received at the time of salvation. When we say that Jesus Christ is our Lord and believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we receive the gift of Holy Spirit, and we have that inherent power at that moment. But that power is inherent. It's only potential, right? It's unused unless we decide, unless we believe, or unless we renew our minds to use it. So 1 Timothy 1:7, again, a familiar verse. Take that back. I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay, so 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You know, sometimes fear can grip someone so strongly that it almost feels like it's a spirit of fear, right? But for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given that to us. But what he has given us is power. And there's that word dunamis or dynamite. And of love and of a sound mind. So we already have it in us to really fight off anything that the adversary throws at us. Anything that causes us to have fear or doubt or worry or disbelief, we have all that within us. We got to activate it. We got to, you know, walk with a renewed mind, and we have to believe what we know we have. But God's already given it to us. So if you can turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Kind of the key verse for this whole sharing. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to verse 2. Romans 12, 2. You know, as far as what we have, the power that we have, and the things that God's given to us, in regards to love, you know, we can have all the love for someone in our heart, but unless we say, "I love you," or we show it, no one's going to know it. So, I love you guys. All right, so Romans chapter 12, let's go to verse 2. And it says, and this is to us now, right? This is an epistle. "And be not conformed to this world. Be not molded to this world or patterned after the ways of this world. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I've heard that you can't prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God unless you renew your mind. But where it says in that same verse, it says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That word transformed is, I'm sure we know this, is the Greek word metamorpho. And from that word comes the word metamorphosis. So, does anybody remember an example of what metamorphosis is? The process by which a caterpillar completely changes into a butterfly, right? Something so drastically and so beautifully changes that the butterfly that emerges from, it's not really a cocoon, it's called a chrysalis, but it emerges from that chrysalis, it's nothing at all like the caterpillar that went into it. It's a total transformation. It's a dramatic, awesome change. When we renew our minds to God's word, it can also be a dramatic, awesome change, right? People may not even recognize you from a personality perspective compared to who you used to be once you've renewed your mind to God's word. You know, you don't hold the things that are in the world that could take you off the word, but you renew it to what God's word says because, again, we're fully assured of what God says. Okay, so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, instead of having something like anger, fear, disbelief, how about remembering God's willingness and ability to help you instead? And then you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, speaking of help, God has gifted or commissioned people in the body of Christ to help the body of Christ, and also to help people outside the body of Christ. So believers and unbelievers. God's, you know, given these gift ministries we're going to take a quick look at for the purpose of helping people to minister, to help people know more about God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, this is written to us again. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And that's us. We're all part of the same body of Christ, the same family of God. Praise God. And if you look at jump up to verse 12. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12. It says, For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have whether we be, you know, anything, developer, graphic designer, manager, director, Duke fan, University of Kentucky fan, Popeye's Chicken fan, Filet, whatever we are, we're all part of that same body of Christ. We have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And this is a funny part. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of another hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So we're all important. God's placed us in this body in the right place. We're all important. God knows what he's doing. And in regard to those who have been commissioned to help in the body of Christ, let's jump down to verse 27 again, and that, just to remind ourselves, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 29, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps and governments, diversities of tongues. So God has set or appointed, people in the body to do specific things to help us out. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And that's rhetorical. No, that's not the gift that every person specifically been given to help. And so basically it says, what it means is verse 29, not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? In other words, has God set or appointed everyone in the body of Christ to have the ministry of an apostle or the ministry of a prophet or the ministry of a teacher? No. You know, we can all do things through Christ when we renew our minds and believe, but we all aren't appointed or commissioned to be apostles, teachers, or prophets. Verse 31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way, right? So these things that that God just listed here, you know, are all apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, are all these appointed gift ministries that God provided. In verse 31, those are called the best gifts. Now, just for clarity's sake, obviously, whenever God gives something, it's the best. So one particular gift isn't necessarily better than another. So what this means, this best gifts, referring to apostles, teachers, prophets, those things, it's referring to the need for a specific situation. So, for example, you know, if a fellowship is located in an area where there's no believing people, right? Say you're in some place and there's no one who believes the word. The best gifts for that particular situation would be someone who can speak the word, like an evangelist. That would be the ministry needed for that particular area. In an area that may have a ton of believers that believe the rightly divided word of God and, you know it very well, then the best gift for that area from a gift ministry perspective would be a pastor, someone to kind of help lead, love, guide people. But that's what it's referring to. So the situation that is needed, that gift ministry is required, and that's what's called the best gift. It's very situational. But what's cool is the last part of this verse 31 says, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So you've got all these great commissions and appointments that God sets in the body of Christ, for the body of Christ, and also for people who aren't believers, for whatever the situation calls for, God's got that covered. But oh, by the way, there is a more excellent way. And what's more excellent than having this commission from God? Well, we all are familiar with the very next chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. So what's bigger and better than all these awesome commissions and appointments, more excellent than the best gifts? Love. So 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not the love of God, charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I can move mountains, remove mountains, and have not the love of God, I am nothing. So these amazing abilities and powers and appointments that God can provide for us are phenomenal. And they speak to the need, no matter where we are. But what's bigger, more excellent than that, according to God's word? It's love. All right, so let's see. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. You know, love is very important. Anyone can love. Anyone can love. You know, we are supposed to love. This is more excellent than the best gifts. We're supposed to, it even says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says we're supposed to covet this, right? Covet seems like a bad word typically. Typically, like if you think about the Ten Commandments, coveting, you know, your neighbor's wife, coveting things they have, it's always a bad thing. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, coveting is what we're told to do, right? We're supposed to covet. But again, bigger than those best gifts, we're supposed to definitely, the more excellent way is love. And so let's go back to Romans 8:38. So Romans 8:38. Again, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, you know, nothing. Again, no coronavirus, no fear, none of that stuff, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, so nothing. You know, nothing at all. Nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Be fully persuaded, you know, be fully persuaded. Jesus Christ was able to walk into a town and heal people because he was fully persuaded what God's word instructed him he could do. You know, Gideon, if you remember Gideon, he got to the point where he was fully persuaded that he saw himself as a mighty man of valor for God. You know, David ran toward Goliath. You know, fully persuaded that God was going to help him prevail. You know, and you, all of us, we can be fully persuaded and trust God with all of our heart, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, simply believing that it's just a matter of seeing it happen. We just have to get to that place in our minds to transform ourselves by the renewing of our mind, to accept what the word says versus that other thing, whatever that other thing may be. Right? It could be anger, it could be doubt, it could be frustration, it could be that crazy person that you work with, who knows? But we have to get to the point where we are transformed in our minds by renewing our minds to the word. It's always a choice. It's kind of cool. If you look at choice in the word too, I was looking at that recently. And you think about God's love to us, that's a choice. You know, there are verses in the Bible where it's Old Testament primarily, where God gets angry. He gets angry at the children of Israel. I mean, so God's love toward us, it's a choice. We can choose also. So you can be fully persuaded and trust God with all your heart, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, simply believing that it's just a matter of seeing it happen. That's it. Love you guys. God bless.